Get it? The Bird Show.
All right, so Lila here wanted us to do a background check. She has been dating a guy for a couple of years, and she knows that he was arrested back in the day, but he's been very aloof on being honest on exactly what it was, and she's dying to know. Hey, Lila, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. All right, tell us what's going on with this man of yours. I mean, it's been 2 years now. Do you really need to know?
Yes. Okay. So I've been dating this great guy, David, for 2 years. He's significantly older than me. I'm 33 and he's 54. And this past weekend we were out drinking, with a bunch of friends and we started playing the game Never Have I Ever. Mm-mm. And one of my friends said, "Never have I ever been arrested." And of course everybody started laughing, but David puts his finger down and everybody stopped laughing and kind of looked at him and everyone was uncomfortable. And I was like, "What? I don't understand." He was just kind of shrugging it off. And I was like, "Okay, listen, you can't just do that and then not explain." So, you know, David just said some things are just better left unsaid and didn't want to go into it. So I tried to let it go because we continued to play. But of course, it's the only thing I could think of. Like, I've been dating this guy for 2 years and how did I not know this? And how has this not come up? So we finally wrapped up a little while later, and in the car ride home, I decided not to say anything. You know, he dropped me off because he had to be somewhere in the morning, so we didn't spend the night together. I was tossing and turning in bed all night. I couldn't fall asleep. That's all I could think about. Then the next morning, I woke up, and curiosity got the better of me, and I literally spent hours online trying to do public record search, like trying to find any clues of his past that I could. It was maddening and driving me crazy, and I found nothing. I couldn't get anywhere. But I've heard that you guys do background checks and you're really great at finding things out. So I'm coming to you out of desperation and asking you to please do a background check on David and find out why he was arrested and what happened.
Yeah, our show director, Tommy's got a guy. We asked the guy and we've got answers for you in a couple of minutes. But did he say how long ago this arrest happened? Because I think that has a lot to do with it, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he just completely shrugged it off. He would not give me any information. He just, like I said, he said some things are better left unsaid and was shrugging and that's it. Well, he admitted to being arrested because he put his finger down, but that was it.
I think the fact that he is being vague about the arrest to me already gives me some red flags, but this doesn't seem to be a big deal breaker for you. Like, there are levels to what he could be arrested for. So I'm wondering, like, what to you is an acceptable arrest that you're going to like stay with him for? Like, what's the line for you?
I mean, if he was arrested, I guess for like, you know, silly mistake driving, possibly, you know, I mean, there's crazy things that come up when you're driving, right? Like like a violation or whatever. I guess maybe like a scuffle with friends that he didn't really do anything terrible, but maybe started like a yelling match. But obviously if it comes back that he killed somebody or that, you know, he abused someone or whatever, then of course that's a deal breaker. So you really think, you know, if it's something that's like not as big of a deal.
I'm trying to understand his thinking because you're playing that game and they ask if you get arrested. He puts a finger down. So I think in order for him to admit it and it like to act like it wasn't a big deal, that it wasn't a big deal. But then I'm trying to figure out, like, if it was something small and minuscule, why wouldn't you just
say it?
Why wouldn't you just say it? Like, what are you hiding?
Yeah, see, because I'm curious.
Right, exactly.
I'm curious.
There's this. There's this big to-do, right? Like, you put this finger down and everybody's sitting there in suspense and it's like, what? Like, you know, is this a big deal or is it not? I've been dating you for 2 years. This is something I should know.
That would be enough of a red flag for me to leave. I would rather you
really?
Not even... Yeah. I would rather you not tell me you got arrested if you're not going to tell me why. Like, why even bring it up? Because at that point, you not telling me is going to make me feel like it's something that, you know, if I know, is going to be a problem.
But isn't that a lie at the end of the day? Like, I mean, he was honest enough to say, yeah, I was arrested, but just doesn't want to talk about anything in his past. You'd rather him lie and not say anything at all.
Because you're omitting the reason. So if you're going to omit the reason, you might as well omit even telling me in the first place.
Now, just so we have clarification and a definition of your relationship, it's been 2 years, so you know if you're in love with this guy or not. You're in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're madly in love with each other, and we've shared everything. I mean, it's been 2 years.
Okay, so my question here is, if it's been 2 years and you're madly in love with this guy, if he has something in his past that he's embarrassed by, why even tempt it? You're in love with a dude and you found a great relationship, so who cares?
Well, right. But at the same time, what if he murdered a past girlfriend? Or what if he, you know, what if he has this whole other life? I mean, I've heard stories all the time about people having a whole other life, you know, and some people are good at hiding it. What if there's something that that he's hiding from me that's major?
Well, he is definitely hiding something from
somebody.
Yeah.
I think the scale depends on how big it is, really.
I get what you're saying, Lila. And also, Bert, I get what you're saying, because you're not in love with him however long ago he was arrested. You're in love with him now and who he is now. So, but at the same, I would be doing the exact same thing you're doing, though.
I gotta know.
Curiosity would have you know. All right, give us a couple of minutes here. Our show director, okay. Tommy, he's got a guy. He called his guy. His guy got info for you, and we will pass it on to you with the background check coming up in just a couple of minutes, okay?
Thank you. Okay, yep.
It's the Bert Show.
Get it? The Bert Show.
In a couple of seconds here, we will give Lila the background check results that she wanted for her boyfriend of 2 years. She knows he has some kind of arrest record, but didn't know what was on it. We found out, so we'll tell her in just a couple of seconds. Kristen sent me this yesterday or the day before, and I got to be honest with you, I would have looked like an idiot also. I really would have, man. You should ask Mo the question before we even play the video.
No, I'm going to play the video and let her ask a question, and then we're going to pause it throughout so you guys can answer the questions.
I've already watched it, so now I know the answer, actually, because I was curious yesterday.
Yeah.
I would have 100% got it wrong.
Got you. All right, so I came across this video from Roe v. Bros, and just asking men on the street certain things about how a woman's body works.
And the cool thing, I mean, it was shot right here in Atlanta. There's the big Mercedes-Benz logo. She's at the stadium. These guys are all buzzed anyway. They're like, all right, yeah, I'll answer.
At one point, I was like, I'm pretty sure she's hanging out at Little Five.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let her take over. And then, Mo, after she asks the question, we're going to let you try to guess, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How many days in a month can a woman get pregnant?
I'm high, and you gonna ask me some stuff like that?
Welcome to another episode of Roe v. Bros, the game show where we find out how much men know about women's bodies. All right, and what was your name?
My name is Ollie, and I think I know a lot about women's bodies.
All right, we'll see. How many days in a month can a woman get pregnant?
How many days in a month can a woman get pregnant?
Man.
And Bert already admitted he did not know this answer.
No, I'm only laughing at you because I got it way wrong.
I have absolutely no idea, but I'll take a guess. 20.
20. Tommy, if you're going to answer the same question, what would it be?
Five.
5 days, Bob.
You're both incorrect, but one is much closer than the other.
I'm guessing.
I don't know the answer. I'm going to go with at least 20.
Let's see. So a week of their period. So 3 weeks?
Every day? I don't know.
Every day.
I think they're most fertile when they're about to begin their period. Actually, I know that's right. When they're about to begin their period, they're the most fertile.
Are there parts of a cycle? I don't even know what the cycle is. I'm not sure.
Can sex while pregnant hurt the baby?
Yeah, if it's rough enough.
I'm thinking, like, what if I poke him or something? Then that's just more awkward for me, because then, like, you know, so no, I don't know.
How many days in a month can a woman get pregnant?
28, like all of them.
I can't even pretend I know. How many days in a month can a woman get pregnant? There's, like, only certain days that women can get pregnant?
The answer is 7.
Oh,
so
that when ovulation days?
Yeah, so you have ovulation the day before ovulation, ovulation, and the day after ovulation.
Got it.
So. I was somewhere up in the 20s, bro.
I was there with you, man.
My bad. All right, let's get Lila back on here. Just to recap here, Lila's been going out with the dude for 2 years. They are using the L word. She loves him, loves him. But they were playing a game the other day. And he admitted that he had been arrested in his past. But when she brought it back up, he's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's in my past. But she's curious, naturally curious. So we have made the offer to her and made the offer to you guys. If you want us to do a background check on somebody, go ahead, hit us up. And Tommy, our show director here, he's got a guy.
You always say a guy.
A guy.
It's not a guy.
What is it?
It's a woman.
He's got a girl.
Yeah.
He's got himself a woman.
We met in Miami. She used to do some PI stuff for me down there and continues to do so to this day for the Bert Show. So I reached out to her. Everything came back clean.
What?
Well, let me explain. Well, almost everything.
Okay.
Was something expunged?
Okay, we did the usual stuff. Name, that was clean. The address was clean. He's never been married, and he's 54, so that's a little sus.
Do you know that, Lila?
I did know that, yeah.
Okay.
All right, his education record.
Why is that sus?
Right.
He's 54 and never been married.
So, everybody don't want to be married.
Women, what do you think about that? Kind of raise an eyebrow? Just asking the women on the show.
Not now. I mean, but
are you being PC right now?
No, I'm not being PC right now, I swear. I think it's... I want to keep the same energy. I think if a man meets a woman at 54 and she's not married, that should hold. Like, some people just, like, that's not their bag.
I mean, I don't want to insult Lila, but first thing I thought was he must be ugly.
Or is a terrible personality.
Abby.
I would say it's a little eye-raising because it's just anything that's outside of the norm is going to, like, perk your ears up a little bit. But I don't think it necessarily means there's something wrong with him, or maybe he does have a terrible personality.
All right.
Can you get arrested for that?
Probably.
That's on his record.
In my book.
Terrible
Damn.
Personality.
The other normal things we check, education record, employment record, those all seem normal. So now to the real nitty-gritty, the arrest. Our PI has access to tools that I don't have. You know, I'm good at tracking people down for the show and stuff like that, but they have additional tools as a PI that I don't have, or Lily would have, you know, in her searches.
Sure.
So that's why she probably didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Turns out David, as we're calling him, was arrested. It was a long time ago. I know you asked mm-hmm. earlier.
How long?
It was a long time ago. And Lily, you'll be glad to know, or Lila, you'll be glad to know, it's nothing bad that's going to make you think less of him or want you to stop dating him. In fact, it may endear you more to him.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Because I want you guys, based on what I just said, what do you think he got arrested for?
I think he was arrested at a protest.
Ah, that was mine. Or I was going to say he was at a Sabrina Carpenter concert. He was arrested for being too hot.
Bert, Mo, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say protest.
I was definitely not going to say that, but that's the answer.
When David was a lot younger, he got caught up in a protest.
Really? Okay, now we need to know what the protest was for.
We don't know.
Dang it.
But we do know things obviously escalated, and he was arrested for civil disobedience.
Okay, so now the question is raised. One, why wouldn't he share that? Because that's like no biggie.
Right.
But two, you've done the digging. You did a background check on your boyfriend of 2 years, even though he said he didn't want to disclose what happened. If you go to him and tell him you did this, I think that may give him grounds to break up with you.
Abby?
Right. Well, that was what I was going to say. I mean, like, he could have told me this. I mean, like you said, it's not a big deal. So I guess I was going to ask you guys if I should ask him one more time or to see and see if he tells me on his own, or should I just drop it? But I guess I should probably just drop it because it wasn't a big deal, and, you know, let bygones be bygones, right?
I don't necessarily think you should drop it, but I do think it's interesting that he's going to keep it to himself. The only theory I have for the reason why he wouldn't want to say anything is I know we're in a really tense election cycle, and maybe he was protesting for your differing political views, and he doesn't want to start any kind of tension between the two of you.
I think Abby's onto something. The protest had something to do with how you would receive it, because he's trying to hide it from you because his position on it at the time doesn't mesh up with your values now. So I'll use this stupid analogy. Let's say he's out there protesting to keep claws on cats, right? And you have a very strong opinion about that, right? He would not want you to know that that was his position.
Okay, I get that.
The PI did tell me, as far as jail time, he only spent one night in jail. The record said that.
Yeah. Okay, so that could be...
I guess that would make sense.
I feel like what you should do and what I would do in this situation are different, because you probably, at this point, should let it go. I mean, you like y'all all have said, you love him today. That was in the past. Now you know the reason. But I would have to know.
All right. Yes. I think there's some more digging that can be done. We know the date of the arrest, right? Because we know it was a long time ago. So we have the date of the arrest, correct?
I don't have the date, but I can reach back out to my PI.
Because if we get the date of the address of the arrest, right, and we know the location of where it happened, you can Google and or try to find like what protests were going on in that area at the time. Because I'm sure if people got arrested, there was a news story on it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Great idea. And then I can find out. I don't have to bring it up to him, and that's it. Yeah. It'll be over.
And you said he's 54 years old, so he could be like, stop playing new wave music! Or it could be anything stupid from the 80s.
So exactly.
Hold on 1 second for us. We'll get some more info, and then we'll continue to do the background check, and we'll find out what this was all about, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, it's The Bert Show.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Jackson is here to admit his own petty revenge here in just a couple of seconds. But first, we have to celebrate. Abby, Jackson, celebrate the numbers.
Oh, okay. We have some pretty exciting news. So if you've been listening, you know that the Burt Show Youth Group, which is everyone who's like mentally 30 that's on the show, we decided to start a podcast called Sunday School with the Burt Show Youth Group. It launched on Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And we've been really excited seeing the numbers go up. And, you know, it's still pretty modest numbers. But I was like, I wonder where we rank amongst the other comedy podcasts that are out there, just in terms of like, how much more we need to go in terms of growth. And we peaked, if I'm getting my numbers right from Rebecca, we peaked on 1022 at number 100 on the comedy podcast.
Look, and if you guys are like, 100, that seems kind of low. Do you have any idea how many comedy podcasts there are in this country? Thousands and thousands and thousands. So for you to debut in the top 100, that's a big deal.
There are 2.69 million podcasts on Apple. So for you to make it even that high is huge.
2.6 million and seven of them are really good.
Yeah, you guys are working your way up.
Yeah, podcast equipment is a little bit too inexpensive for people, but we're really excited. And we have an episode coming out on Monday that you guys are going to eat up.
Why? What's on it?
We Jackson? Have a very special guest that made an appearance during our recording this past week who you guys are all familiar with, and we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it as a surprise.
If it's any former employees, I'd like to know now.
We'll talk soon.
Hey, congratulations, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Celebrate it. It's a hell of a launch.
Yeah, we're so excited.
We really are. And it's been so much fun to do. And it's honestly worked so seamlessly. It feels like we have all the pieces of the puzzle in order to make this thing work and happen. I know it kind of got off to a bit of a rocky start with us not really understanding the ins and outs of what it takes to launch and do that successfully. But I think we've got our feet underneath us now, and we're really pumped.
Good, man. That's awesome. All right. So tell us about this petty revenge you're having.
Oh, boy. So I don't know why petty has been on my mind. I think it's because of, Christian, your recurring petty party bits where we've had callers call in about what they've done.
My favorite was that woman who called in, because it was so random when we did our last petty party that her boyfriend dumped her because her tomato sauce, like her marinara, was too garlic forward. Had too much garlic in it, so she messed around with a sister.
Right. I guess. That's about as petty as it gets.
I think she just wanted an excuse to hook up with a sister.
I think so, too.
That might have been it. That might have been peak petty. But again, it's been on my mind. And so my girlfriend and I, we reserve Wednesday nights as our date night every week. We hang out a lot throughout the week, but that's the one day evening that we actually commit to trying and go do something, right?
Quality time where you guys are next to each other on your phones.
Exactly. Mo, I hate to break it to you, but sitting next to each other with the phones for us is just not the quality time that she needs. For me, I think, man,
in your relationship, leave me alone.
What did you do to piss everyone off today?
These buses just keep coming, man.
So we kind of try to choose different places, and we've got a bit of a rotation going of places that we like to go to. But recently, strangely enough, it's been going to Dave & Buster's, okay? Dave & Buster's is an arcade, and we have a fun time going there. And recently, it's just been kind of the place that we've always just wanted to go every Wednesday when it's like, what do you want to do, right? And so this most recent time that we were there last week, we're doing our thing. We're hanging out. We're playing games. We're having a good time. And we're at this one game that happens to be right next to these two claw machines, the crane game, you know, the infamous crane game where you win the plushies and the prizes from them.
Dude, starting to know your personality now, I could see you standing at that thing for an hour and a half, determined to win before you leave.
With some a notepad and a pen.
Doing the math on it. Yeah.
You know there's a hack to it, right? There's like a certain button you push, and like certain ways you move the controller, and it's supposed to go in, and like it's like the test mode or something of the crane.
It's like up, down, down, left, right, right. But you have to have the exact one, and then you'll win every time.
Right. And so we've actually been pretty good at like winning a bunch of tickets. Like we're honestly kind of scarily close to having enough tickets to get a PS5 in there, which is kind of insane. We've been putting in the work there.
That's like 75 million tickets.
Yeah, it's like 170,000. dozen tickets or something like that.
I'm just curious.
Just go out and get the PS5. It'd be so much cheaper.
PS8 is going to be on by the time you get it.
That's when everything is said and done. I would love to know like how much you actually spent at Dave & Buster's in order to acquire the PS5.
That's neither here nor there. It's about the journey. Okay?
That's why when we were at the fair together and we were shooting baskets and we're all wasting money, I just said to the dude, how much do I have to give you just to give us the stuff? To he's like, I'll take 15. I'm like, great.
So we're standing there and we're playing this other game that happens to be next to this crane game. And this couple that's in like their 30s are playing on the claw machines. And the lady's having just no luck. And she's pretty audibly upset about the fact that she can't win whatever's in this machine, right? And so we take a look over and the machine has a bunch of junk in it, but there's these five or six like plushy dinosaurs that were like the best thing that you could probably win inside them.
Again, and they're like flipping you off.
Yeah.
Is the way you look at it. Like, come get me,
come
sir.
Come and get me, right?
Little T-Rex arm. Like.
So after they're standing there for a while, they leave and then my girlfriend's like, oh, I want to give it a try. So she goes up. Boom, first try, wins one of the dinosaurs.
Oh, now.
And we're like, oh, here we go, right?
Okay, second, now were you really like that? Or were you like, oh, good for us? Or were just your competitive juices starting to flow? Like, how could she do this before I did?
No, because I was just happy that it felt like a team effort at this point. It was a collective thing. I was just happy that she won something. And then this other couple obviously had a very tough time with this, right? So then my girlfriend plays again. Boom, second try.
Oh,
second dinosaur plushie, right? And we're like on top of the world, right? It's at this moment that I look out of the corner of my eye and the lady that was playing before is standing right behind us, okay? And she's kind of making some fussy noises and then she butts in and says, like, it's my turn now because now she sees us winning, right? And so
did she just think like they turned the machine for 10 minutes a day into a free for all? Like your girlfriend didn't earn it or something?
But that's not how Dave & Buster's works. Like when you're at an arcade like that, yeah, taking turns, we teach our kids that. But if you're at the claw machine, however much money you have, like you play until you don't want to play anymore.
Exactly.
See, Tommy will know this from back in the day when you were playing the stand-up arcade games. You put your quarter on top of the machine, indicating that this is my machine again in the next round also. And if that quarter wasn't up there, then the next person got to cut to play.
I see. See, now it's a card on my phone that I tap onto this little thing and then it charges you, right? So we're sitting there, and after she says that, my girlfriend's not a combative person, so she's ready to get out of there. But for some reason, that comment just sort of rubbed me the wrong way. So I'm like, no, like play again, right? So what did we do? We proceeded to stand there for the next 15 minutes and win every single prize out of the entire machine.
Yes. No, you didn't.
Literally every single one of them cleaned out the entire machine. And then afterwards, like, my girlfriend's holding, like, all these prizes and we just walk away.
Did you turn around and go, hey, your turn?
Yep.
Oh, we just
all yours. Your turn.
Justice has been served. Good for you.
I felt good about that one.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, we will start this by giving you an example, and Abby will love this, on how hardcore Swiftie fans are. Swifties, okay? This is a great story coming out of New Orleans, where I believe that Taylor Swift is performing this upcoming weekend.
Yes, I'm right? excited.
Are you going?
No, but I think there's a rumor going around that she's going to announce Reputation Taylor's version this weekend, and I have a friend going, so I'm just really excited for them.
So a woman in New Orleans decided that she was going to buy 191 hotel rooms in New Orleans. She noticed that anytime Taylor went to a city, obviously there was going to be demand, so hotels were jacking up the prices of their rooms. So she decided that she was going to buy 191 different hotel rooms, right? But she hasn't taken a profit on any of it. She looked at the history and realized that in every one of these cities, a lot of Swifties were missing the concert because they couldn't afford hotel and the ticket. So she bought the hotel rooms and hasn't taken 1 cent of a profit on these rooms.
That is so nice. And right. I wish she had been to Chicago or Nashville last year, because I definitely paid a very pretty penny for those hotels.
I think it's a pretty cool thing to do right there,
so
right? Because she could have like probably turned around and sold them for 3-4 times as much, especially because she blocked off so many. She decided not to do that.
She's better than me. I definitely thought about making a profit on my tickets.
All right, Cassie, is it a red flag in this relationship or is it totally normal?
I need some advice from our LGBTQ staff members, like Katie and Rebecca, because I have a friend who's gotten into a new relationship. She does identify, she's a lesbian, and she met someone new, and this person seems really cool, right? They're really happy. They're taking it slow, but they've been on 2 dates and they're already girlfriend and girlfriend. And that just seemed, I know there's a stereotype about, what is it, the U-Haul, like, stereotype where you move super fast, but they've met twice. So it's not like they've been talking for months online or getting to know each other. They've had 2 dates, great chemistry. And I also want to say, I moved very fast in my current relationship, so I feel like a giant hypocrite. But it was more than 2 dates before we called each other boyfriend and girlfriend. And I don't want her to get hurt because she's just come out of a very long-term relationship. And so I'm walking this line of, I care about this person. Do I say, hey, do you think this is a red flag? Or do I shut up because it's none of my business and I'm not in that community at all and the dynamics are different?
There's only one detail that I think this story depends on, and that is, are they both lesbians or is one of them bi or queer in some way?
They are both lesbians.
Yeah. Then they are soulmates.
What is the difference here?
I would say, like, a bi girl and a lesbian moving in that fast, like, that's moving too fast. I would say, like, the more attracted you are to men, the less judgment that you can, like, trust yourself with. Lesbians, they just do this. They just know for some reason. They have this intuition.
That intuition, half of the time, is wrong. It's a 50-50 chance when lesbians do this. They do this because it's that such overwhelming feeling of, oh my gosh, finally a woman who just understands me. And you think that within the first 2 dates, because she's telling you sweet nothings in your ear, that she's the greatest thing ever. But sometimes it is a failure. So, like, ooh,
that came from deep.
I was feeling Katie's been here.
Maybe deep in the experience.
Oh, very. Very much so. And I hate this stereotype because it's actually true. It's just a fact. And that's why in the relationship that I'm in right now, I didn't want to do that, even though I had those overwhelming feelings, of course, when I first met her. And for some reason with lesbian dates, the first date is like 10 hours by itself. So that's why I had to intentionally choose, yes, I may have these feelings, but let's wait. So it took us almost 4 months before we're like, okay, let's actually confirm this and say this is the route we're going to go down. So Cassie, for your friend, I would just, you know, be there for her. And also give the warning of how you feel. Like, you know, do you think that this is because it's real love? Or is it just because right now this lust and this overwhelming feeling is so great?
But let me ask you this. So here's my question is...
Riddle me this, lesbian.
Riddle me this. Riddle me this, ladies. If a straight person came to you and was like, yo, I'm clocking how fast you're moving with this chick, you might want to slow down, but says it nicely. Are you a little bit like, get the hell out of my life? You have no idea what it's like to date other women. Like, how dare you try and step to me and tell me what to do with my relationship?
If it was a straight couple? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, like, if a straight person came to, like, Rebecca or Katie and was like, hey, I think you're moving too fast, with me being straight and not knowing how that culture, you know, operates in terms of dating. Like, I can listen to what Katie's saying and I totally understand it. But at the same time, I think it's very different coming from a straight person. Or is it?
Me personally, I wouldn't see it as any difference. Because a relationship is a relationship. Like, things that you go through as a couple, something that you go through. So I would look at you and just think of your relationship history. And I'm like, well, she is in a marriage that she's been in for all these years. Maybe she knows something that she might be talking about. You know, like, I wouldn't think like, oh my gosh, this straight woman's trying to tell me how to lesbian. No.
I would. I 100% would.
You would.
I'd be like, this is the straightest take ever. She's right, but it's still straight. That's just how it goes for queer women. Women loving women, they just jump into relationships as quickly as possible. And it is kind of 50-50. I've seen them last forever and I've seen them go down in major flames a year later.
So Katie and I just happened to be at the water cooler literally at the same time the other day, and her relationship right now is a little bit fascinating for me, because you guys met each other online and had decided to start a relationship before you actually met face to face. Is that correct?
No. So we talked about it, but when we met face to face, that's when we confirmed it.
Okay. And you had, she's your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have been seeing each other for how long?
It's going on 6 months.
And the 6 month anniversary.
But that's of knowing each other, like officially right. in a relationship.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay.
And I think people my age have a hard time grabbing onto this, that this is a relationship, even though you're not spending a whole bunch of time with each other and it's mostly online. So you are, but you guys have sort of the same agreement in your relationship that Mo has with his lady.
Yeah. So I've never been in a serious long distance relationship. And I was that person who thought I could never do this. So what works for me is I need to see you. And she felt the same. And so we came up with an agreement that every other week, we would see one another. Either I go see her or she comes down, but at least twice a month, mm-hmm. we need to physically see each other.
And there are some that are okay with not doing that. We'll see each other once every 7 months, but do you guys talk and FaceTime every day?
Yes. Okay. So then that's where we fill in the gaps, is we're talking every day and we're working around each other's schedules. It's like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we have a joint calendar so that we know when someone's doing something or what's going on for our week. And then we schedule our FaceTime calls around that.
So you've been official.
Look at Mo. Yes. Mo was like, don't even put it on the table.
Take that out. Yeah. My lady here.
So you guys have been together for 2 months, like in a relationship for 2 months, and you have a joint calendar. Mm-hmm. Mo, how long have you and your lady been together?
This is not about me.
These are two countries arguing, and then somebody throws a missile into a third country that's not even involved.
How is mine in my business?
Okay, Belgium has entered the chat.
Yeah,
uh-huh. So if your lady came to you saying, hey, just for convenience, and that way it'll just be, it'll be easier.
Damn, dude.
Can we do a joint calendar?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Will you do me a favor and check the oil while you're under the bus?
It's rough on the air, bro.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
This was kind of infuriating, and I'm wondering if Mo is going to feel the same way about this one influencer, Nance DaBaby on TikTok, about men paying for dates because women spend more time prepping for a date, so a man should always pay.
I refuse to split the bill on dates because I'm actually splitting the bill before I even get to the date. Let me explain myself. Regardless of the cost of the check at the end of the date, I am spending money to show up. As soon as I have a date scheduled, I book a cycle bar class. Then I get my eyebrows done. I see Kaylin at Bespoke Brows because I am not bringing a unibrow to happy hour. My eyebrows are probably the most complimented feature I have. So we just do a quick tweeze session to clean everything up. The tweezing is painless. These are the best results I've ever seen. My brows look amazing and I have no breakouts after. And even though I don't think my date cares about what my hands look like, I feel the need to get a manicure before showing up. But this Japanese gel manicure was $75. Even if I had my manicure and my brows done earlier in the week, it still takes a whole entire day to prepare for a date. Like planning my outfit, planning my hair wash schedule, being mindful about what I eat before the date. I love garlic knots. I'm not having garlic knots to pregame. There are so many different factors that go into me preparing for a date, like me even checking for my gray hairs, like simply showering, doing my hair and makeup and picking out an outfit could be 2 hours. Meanwhile, the guy hasn't had a haircut in weeks and shows up in the outfit he wore to the office. And then a guy is going to ask you to split the bill on a date when he won't even split the conversation. It's always one-sided conversations with the guys that ask to split the bill. A guy like that doesn't even ask you questions about yourself. Meanwhile, I put so much energy into leading the conversation on these dates. I look amazing. I bring my killer personality. I spent all this time and money to get to the date. I am not taking my credit card out once I'm there.
Mo, you first, then Abby.
I think that's hilarious. Me personally, I pay for the date because it's the gentleman thing to do, not because you got in the shower. I don't do that.
She lost me a shower.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. But, I mean, yeah, I feel like I prep for the date, too. By working, because you have to have the money to pay for it. So
I also went to work so I could have the money to pay for all this mediocrity.
And them shoes I'm wearing on the date to impress you were not cheap. That cashmere sweater I got on to impress you were not cheap. Them fresh press jeans I got on to impress you were not cheap. You're not the only one prepping for this date. I'm prepping for this date too. So I don't mind paying, but it's certainly not because you feel like you had to prep for the date.
Well, you're the outlier here. I would consider you an exceptional guy.
whereas most women are going out with the average normal guy who strolls in wearing a polo that he looks that looks like it's been sitting in the back of his closet for 5 years and his random dirty Nikes and his cargo shorts. Meanwhile, I thought you looked like something completely different from your Hinge profile, and I show up looking like a Victoria's Secret supermodel's cousin.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
It takes a lot of money to look this average. So
save that. Yeah.
So I honestly, I really felt her. I feel like I because you want to go in feeling your best self. So you're not trying to like, I'm not looking good specifically for him, but you want to go in swinging just in case he is Mr. Right. And most of the times you strike out because you're sitting across some dude who looks like he couldn't even be bothered to brush his hair.
I think it is safe to assume and safe to say that women do put in more effort when it comes to prep for a date. And it is something that we choose to do. For example, you and I are going on the same weekend excursion, right?
Uh-huh. We're going to Kentucky this weekend.
We're going to go to a football game and go to the horse track. How much effort have you put into getting yourself ready for this weekend?
I packed.
Okay.
And I went to Men's Warehouse yesterday to get a tie that was $20-something.
Gotcha.
That you don't even know how to tie.
I don't even know how to tie. I'm going to have somebody at the racetrack tie it for me before we go in. Yeah. So total time.
Yes.
And picking out the suit of my wide collection of three suits that I have. Whole thing, packing, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So over here, I was at the salon for 3 hours yesterday getting my hair done. I went and got my nails done. I got a spray tan last night. I went to no less than 6, maybe 7 places trying to find the right outfit. And then my husband didn't have anything to wear. So I was at Nordstrom Rack last night looking for him. Did I pop next door to DSW to get me some shoes as a little like, hey, good job, girl. You're doing all the things. Yes, I did. So yeah, I think women do, but.
And we gave up garlic knots.
Yeah, she lost me at the garlic knots and she lost me at the shower.
Yeah.
I don't think, but we choose to do that.
It's because
awesome.
We choose to do that. And yes, are we doing it for the person we're going out with? Yes, but I do it more for myself because I know when I show up somewhere, when I put that effort in, I'm going to walk a little taller. I'm going to be a little more confident. And it makes me feel better about myself. So we choose to do that. I do think the man on the date reaps the benefits of, you know, all of that, all of that extra work. However, I don't think you should feel entitled to have your date paid for simply because you went and got a mani-pedi.
No, I don't feel entitled, but I do think it is an important sentiment to realize, okay, maybe I do pay for this girl's one cocktail because she put all of this money and effort into how she looks so that I can enjoy being out with a beautiful woman with a decent personality she formed through therapy. Which, by the way, also costs money, and I'm going to have to be in therapy once you eventually ghost me.
I will agree with Mo that, and we have the same attitude when it comes to dates, just old-fashioned, I'm paying no matter what. But if you make the suggestion that I'm supposed to pay, all bets are off. Yeah. This is going to be our very last date. And you and I are both watching Love is Blind. There's the one girl on the show, the blonde, that said she's telling these guys through the wall that I just want to let you know that you're going to be paying for everything in this relationship. That would be a game over at that point.
Well, yeah, I think that's an entitled thing. But I'm getting fired up because I'm thinking about how much money and time I've spent to get ready for these dates that just turned out to be like so, like, wasn't even like half the amount of effort into just bringing their A game. So it comes from a place of exhaustion of like, you know what? Like, I need a consolation prize at the very least.
Could you imagine if this was a thing and like you showed up at a date and a guy looked at you and he's like, you know what? I could tell you put a lot of effort into yourself tonight. I'm going to take care of it, everything. Or vice versa. If you showed up looking busted, he's like, I can tell that you didn't do a thing to get ready for this date. We are splitting the bill. And actually, you're buying my first drink.
You got the tip.
I like that.
You're on The Burt Show.